Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're joining us, wherever you're watching or listening to us from. This is the Niger FC podcast. As always, I'm your host, Ayoti, and with me is my reliable co-host,
Smitlai. Thanks for joining.
Thank you very much for joining us. Smitlai, we are here to sing a joyful song. We are here to sing a song of praise. You know, what is this thing that they always say? What Jesus cannot do does not exist. You know,
yeah.
And he has done it for us. For the first time in 16 years, since 2008, the Super Falcons of Nigeria have qualified for the Olympic Games, and they will be going to Paris to take on the best in the world, to take on the best from all the other continents. It took a tough result against South Africa. In the home leg, we played a 1-0 win, courtesy of a Rashad Ajibade penalty. And then we went to Pretoria, South Africa, and we played a goalless draw. I will start by saying, I got one prediction correct. I said we will play 1-0 in Nigeria, and I said we'll play 1-1 in South Africa. So I got it right, win and draw. But my scoreline was only correct for the one in Nigeria. Smitlai, you said we'll beat them both legs.
Yeah, I thought we will. But Uchenna Kanu had other ideas.
Now you're blaming her for the prediction. Okay. But let's get into it. I mean, for anybody that didn't watch the game, most of us didn't watch the game in Nigeria for, you know, obvious reasons. But the game in South Africa we're able to watch, you know, and it was quite a tense game. You know, the Super Falcons, I would say I'll probably give them like a 6/10 for that performance. It wasn't an easy ride. We needed the expertise, the skill of Chiamaka Kanadozie to come to action. I'll just give you a quick rundown of my thoughts, and then Smitlai, I'll come to you. For me, I think in the first half, we had the better of the opportunities in that first half. You know, Ajibade early in the game, she put in a good cross. Chinwe Duhezo took a header. The keeper saved it. You know, it's one of those things whereby maybe you say she should have scored, but it also wasn't the easiest header in the world. Gradually, we allowed South Africa to come into the game a little bit, but we're still more commanding in that first half. I think there was one moment with Osinachi Ohale that she wanted to head the ball back to Chiamaka, and she kind of maybe lost her bearing a little bit, and she ended up heading it out, but she nearly gifted it to, I think, Katlana was the striker there. I want to give kudos to Chidima Okeke. You know, after a timeout of the squad, she slotted in at left back and she played fantastic, honestly, in my opinion. You know, she never looked like she missed a beat. She was really, really solid. And I think she made a lot of good decisions in that game. On the other flank, on the right back, at the right back position was Michel Alozie. Honestly, I think Alozie is a bit too clumsy. You know, I'm not going to knock on her because she's not a defender. She plays as a forward for her club, you know, but Wardrum uses her as a defender in the Super Falcons team. I just think that sometimes her decision-making is not always so up to par. You see her rushing out when she doesn't need to rush for a challenge. She commits a lot of fouls. I always say one thing that is almost guaranteed is Alozie will get a yellow card in a game. But all in all, it didn't affect her. She didn't make any really costly error. I think she also maybe sometimes doesn't know when to pass the ball, but let me not harp on that too much. One thing that I didn't like too much about our style of play was that we were playing a lot of long balls. And at some point, you know, it felt like, can't we try to build up a little bit and make it a little bit more interesting and hold possession? You know, do we always have to surrender possession to the opponent? But still, you know, it didn't affect us. Even when they brought Tony Payne into the game, I thought Payne was going to help with that. But it didn't really change much. It was just a lot of long balls and we give the ball back to South Africa. I thought Eche Gini did well in midfield, you know, holding the play up, driving the ball forward. She won a few free kicks, you know, compared to the first leg where she wasn't so effective. I thought she did a better job in the second leg. And then I would say Uchenna Kanu, Smitlai already blamed her for the prediction not going right. But I think Uchenna Kanu, she's just not a winger in my opinion. You know, as much as we like her pace, and we like her unpredictability on the ball. You know, she's one of those players that when she gets the ball, The same way we that are watching don't know what she's going to do. I think even she that has the ball doesn't know what she's going to do. Not just anything will come to her body when it's time is what she does. But I think she's just not a winger, she's a striker. I've said this on previous episodes, if you've been paying attention, that see, when Kanu doesn't have any option, when there's only one thing for her to do, editing, take a shot, things like that, she's good. If you look at even most of the goals that she scored for the Super Falcons, including at the World Cup earlier last year, you'll see that it was just those quick decisions. But when she has the ball and she can either run with it, she can either cut it back, she can either whip in a cross, I feel like her decision-making just tends to always be poor in those situations. But I won't blame her too much. I think, you know, she's a striker. She plays as a striker for her club. Unfortunately, maybe there's too much competition in that number nine position in the Super Falcons with Oshoala, Okoronkwo, Numanu, Ihezuo. Kano should now join them. There's a lot of competition. But I think that Randy just needs to stop using her as a forward, as a winger. It's not working. And then I'll end by saying, Chiamaka Nnadozie continues to prove why she's the best goalkeeper in Africa. And in my opinion, why she's one of the best goalkeepers in the world. She was fantastic on the evening. Without her in goal, we'll probably have considered one or two goals to South Africa. You know, when she was called upon, she held her own. She did a good job. And overall, I said earlier, 6/10 performance from the team. But the most important thing was that they got the job done over two legs. Professional job. And they are going to the Olympics for the first time since 2008. Smidlai, what was your assessment of the Super Falcons against South Africa?
You know, like you, thank you for the opportunity again. Like you said previously, you know, we didn't watch the first leg. The stream was like 1984 stream. In 2024, you know, we were like just like a mockery, you know, just trying to wash our dirty clothes outside. It was horrible. But with the little we watched, you know, some people were even making that joke yesterday. Say, ah, Reverend, are you watching this with phone? Are you? Oh yeah, the boy is here. The boy is here. You know, so I can't really assess these Falcons based on actually what they did in in the first leg in Abuja. But, you know, looking at the second leg, you know, I just think that you don't need to be flamboyant. You need to just get the business, you know, just do the business. And I can commend the guests because, you know, after the first leg, after the final whistle, actually what went, I saw Randy Wardrum, you know, shaking his hands like this, like, you know, to tell you that he knew it's over. So, like, knew it's over. You know, Randy Wardrum now. He's going to close the shop. He knew it's over. So, and, you know, I want to single out some players. You know, Chiamaka Nnadozie, you know, you go and save all your savings. Go and keep it in the hands. He will save it for you. And all your money, I'm telling you now, go and keep it with Chiamaka. She will save it for you. Like that's the safest hand in Africa. And also, I think, what's it called? Even among the safest in the world, you know, and I can see it here now. She's like the best goalkeeper in the history of Nigerian football for female football. She's the best. So, you know, even Ellis, the South African coach, said that she stood between them and the Olympic ticket. So, you know, she doesn't even look threatening. You know, she was commanding the ball. She was just playing her garden. You know? And in the defense too, you know, I know what to express from Osinachi Ohale, but you know, Christy Ushebe, my days. Come on. Christy Ushebe, come on, Christy. You must play the central defense too. Because like Miss no nonsense. No nonsense. Like, you know, and I have to be honest too, I have never watched her play central defense before until she played for Benfica against Lyon. I think she played as a left-sided central defender. So, don't be crispy with this. In fact, that day, I watched both legs. Like, I watched them very well. So, you know, very, very good performance. You know, I was so scared when Tosin Dimeyi, you know, got injured and we didn't have actually planned that to deputize in that area. But, come on, this, you know, Christy Ushebe, she mashed Catalana out of it. Go and check the interceptions. You know, first to second ball always there, And kudos to Chidimma Okeke too. You know, I have to mention that, you know, I is someone that I really rate very highly, you know, because of I saw her play underage football for Nigeria. You know, I remember she was part of the team that Rasheeda Ajibade captained, you know, when they played under 20 then. She was there and she was the shining light in that defense line, you know, and I was expecting her to kick on, you know, from there. Unfortunately, that bad injury actually what came, and you know, things didn't work out for her. She played at the World Cup in France, so I'm happy she's back now. At least that's going to give us more options in central, in defense, and also, you know, in defense, in midfield. You know, you know what to expect from Deborah Abiodun. You know, they actually what did well. I felt that the energy of Deborah Abiodun is actually what needed in that team, because she chased those South Africans everywhere. Though she might be misplacing her passes, but she was chasing them. They were not comfortable with the ball, you know. And up front, I just think that that's the area we actually need to work on. You know, kudos to Chinwedu. She's Chinwedu Iezu. Iezu, yes, very good player. You know, I know that she's a weapon of mass destruction. You know, a lot of people don't really know how prolific she can she would be. I think there was a game that when we were doing one waffle game, she scored 9 goals. You know, to tell you how prolific she can actually would be. She will do Ihezu. Very, very good player. So, you know, she's a different striker compared to Agbabola. So, and I think that that is why the coach used in these qualifiers, because she's a defensive striker. You understand what I'm trying to say? She's a defensive striker. So, she's a... Yes, she's our first line of defense. You know, she's our... So, because she pins the opposition central back. She pins them down. She run them ragged. She's our first line of defense. That actually was really making a lot of sense. So, I have to... Kudos to the guests. First time in 16 years. Not, you know, it's a long time. And those times we missed it. I think, too, that we took those qualifiers for granted. But this time around, we wanted to qualify and we did the job. And kudos to the NFF and also the Sports Ministry for bringing Randy back. Because, you know, if Randy did not come back, I'm pretty sure that we might not be going to this Olympics. So kudos to the girls.
Fantastic, fantastic. Thank you for that. Like, let me ask you a question now. Because you know how Nigerian fans are. They always have something to complain about. It's just normal about Nigeria. So I saw after the game, some people on social media in the comments were talking about, oh, the team is not impressive. 5 years ago, we were beating them 4-0. Now we are playing 0-0 against them and we're happy. You know, things like that. Some people said, oh, the coach was too defensive. He's playing like Jose Pesero. You know, all sorts of different comments. What do you think about people that feel it is a bad result because the Super Falcons did not win the game in Pretoria? What do you think about that?
You know, the new generation of fans now, they are spoiled, I won't lie to you, because of the success of Nigeria in the past. You know, kudos to those that played for Nigeria in the past. But with due respect, football wasn't that professional at that time. And I can tell you, even those that played for the Green Eagles then, the football wasn't that professional. But this time now, there's more details now to football, to these games. So you can see clearly. See, before the game against South Africa, I saw the South African game against Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso nearly killed them in that place. So I knew that Burkina Faso, that will be 10-0. Yeah. So, you know, for me, I think those ones, they should try and repent. And sometimes when you see Nigerians doing all these things, maybe they have a different agenda. Maybe they just don't like the coach. But for me, if someone can deliver an Olympic ticket for you after 16 years, give him these flowers. What about the local coach that you've been beating them? But each time, for 16 years, we could not qualify for the Olympics. So, and someone did it now, and you are saying that it's not doing well. If, you know, we had local coaches before in the past that took us and we didn't qualify for the Olympics. See, Olympic qualification is the most difficult in African football. World Cup qualifiers is not difficult because when you are in the semifinals or finals, you are in the World Cup for women football. You are in the World Cup straight away. Olympic qualifiers is so, so difficult because you have to play home and away. So I think that those that are just not supporting Randy, I think that maybe they have personal beef against him. Even himself understands those that doesn't support him because in his press conference, he said that there's one journalist, I know this journalist, but I will not mention, see, that doesn't like his work and everything. He too likes to be petty. So if they want to be petty with him, he will petty with them. But for me, I think that Randy did well. And we should be patient with this man because, you know, I think that he's breeding like the golden generation of Nigerian football again.
Yeah. And I'll just echo your words, honestly. I don't know what people want again. I always ask this question, or I've been asking it since the AFCON for the men. Do we like fancy football or do we like winning? Because Jose Pesero took us to the final. People complained about he was not playing fancy football. Now, Randy Waldrum has taken us to the Olympics. For the first time since 2008, people are complaining about the style of football. That, oh, he did not win the second match. And I think Nigerian fans need to realize that, see, these things are not easy. Gone are the days in women's football in Africa whereby other teams just come. They are playing against women that when they are done with the match, they have to go to their second job or they have to go to whatever other thing that they have. Everybody now has a serious system in place, has serious players, has quality on the field. And if care is not taken, you know, you can easily lose these games. So I have to give credit to the team. Of course, wins are always great, but for that second leg, the most important thing was don't lose that game and secure the ticket to the Olympics. After you secure your ticket, you can now do whatever else you want to do. So that's what I'll say. Okay, let me ask you this question, Smutlai, also, on this Super Falcons thing. You mentioned on the Wardrobe's press conference. You know, in his press conference, he also made a plea to the sports ministry and to the federal government of Nigeria for them to support the team. He said he wants a camp in Europe, you know. What do you think are the possibilities there? Do you think that looking forward to the summer, because we're in April right now, before you know it is August, and the Olympic Games is going on, you know, do you think that the Super Falcons can and will get the support that they need from the authorities that, you know, handle these things in Nigeria?
I think that the Olympics is from the sport ministry. And we have a sports minister now that might not be a sport person, but I think, say, he get advisors that are sport people. And also, there's some people too in the top people in Nigeria now that like sports, that understands that you need to train very well for you to win, to perform well in sport competitions. Gone are the days when we had a sports minister that they said we don't need training to do well. I remember the sports minister, if I don't remember the quote that year, say no training. Say the training is a scam. Say, look at the Paralympics, there's no training, and they went to go and win something. Say we don't need training. the man from Jos. So, but now I think that they will get what they want. I believe so. But and good, the good thing again is that it's for the sport ministry, it's on the NFF. Because the NFF have so many things on their neck. The Super Eagles does not have a coach. The other 17 does not have a coach, and they're going to play in the next 3 weeks. I don't understand. So they have a lot of things on their neck to deal with. So they might not be able to give them if this is like NFF property. But this is the sports ministry now. They know that, okay, they are like our star athletes going to the Olympics. So they need to be able to, you know, make them train. And I'll be proposing, if you don't mind, you come and camp in the UK.
so that you can go and watch
to go and camp in the UK. So you can go and see them wherever they are in the UK before they go to France for the Olympics. So, but I think they will get what they want. I believe the sports ministry, I think that people that are advising the president to, you know, that, oh, these guys really did well for Nigeria, they should give them what they actually want. That's my opinion. I think they're going to get it.
Okay. I just wanted to ask your thoughts on that. I really don't have any thoughts on whether or not they will get it, but it is my prayer, it is my hope that, you know, they're able to get that, because at the end of the day, they need all the support that they can get from the Federation, from the Sports Ministry, so that they can put in a good showing. Why? Because we have an extremely, extremely difficult group in the Olympics. For those that don't know, we have been drawn, you know, in our group, Group C, against champions of the world, Spain, champions of Asia, Japan, and champions of America, South America, Brazil. So everywhere we look in this group, it's going to be a difficult game. And, you know, just like the World Cup, Randy Waldrop said it, World Cup were a group of death. Olympics, they don't carry us put for a group of death again. I like it because we are seeing our Super Falcons go up against heavyweights, tough opponents. It's going to be interesting games. And based on what they showed me at the World Cup, even though we unfortunately lost in that round of 16 game against England, in the group stage playing against Canada, you know, who are the defending Olympic champions, you know, we showed that we can compete against these big teams. You know, and then now coming to this Olympic Games that we are playing against the world champions, Spain, that's going to be a difficult one. We are playing against Japan. We know how the Japanese play. They are so technical. They are so organized, you know, and then playing against the Brazil that just have a lot of quality in their side. So, like, how do you think the Super Falcons can fare against these three teams at the Olympic Games?
For me, I don't think we'll lose any game.
Okay, I like that.
I don't think we'll lose any game. I think the scapegoat will be Brazil. Yes, I think the scapegoat will be Brazil. That is it. I think we'll be Brazil. We'll ruffle feathers a lot against Japan. We sit back against Spain. I think Brazil will be the scapegoat, yeah.
You know what is making me laugh? Brazil, I'm sure on their own podcast now, they are saying, I think it's going to be Nigeria.
Yes.
But it's going to be interesting. Our first game is against Brazil. So that's for sure going to set the tone for how things are going to go. I have faith in the team, honestly. For me, I'll be realistic with myself. I think Brazil, I think we can get a win there. Japan, I think we can get a draw or a win. But that's Spain. I love Chamaka. That Spain one is going to be difficult, man. I can't forget. Maybe we can get a draw. But see, I cannot forget. Last year, I was in Barcelona. I went to watch Barcelona versus Atletico Madrid. And just watching Alexa Putellas, watching those Spanish girls play football, I was just like, you know, when I was looking at them, like, wow, they are so good, you know. And then, of course, when you now come to the national team where all the other players that are not in those in Barcelona are joining them, it's not going to be easy. But if anybody can do it, it's the Super Falcons, you know. And I know that they are going to go there, they are going to put on a good showing, they are going to, you know, represent well for us. And by the grace of God, you know, all things being equal, I should be in Paris to support them and to watch them. And, you know, hopefully we can wheel them on to some high quality wins. And who knows, maybe we can even get to the final, you know, at least if we can medal, bronze, silver or gold, I think that would be a good result for us.
Yeah. And let me just say a few things too. The third team can qualify in this Olympics. The third team can actually qualify in this Olympic because there's going to be two third best place teams can qualify in this Olympics. So that is it. So just for history, this thing, we last time we played the Olympics, we played against Brazil, we lost 3-1, but then That was when the matter of this world, they are, and Christine, they are the peak of their power. But, you know, I went somewhere today. I was just trying to watch Brazil against Jamaica again. Because I'm trying to scout them now. Brazil against Jamaica. No. Not now. See, if we qualify from that group, we'll go far.
Okay. I really hope it works out well for us. But of course, for our audience, when the Olympic Games are getting closer and closer, we will for sure discuss it in more detail. We'll discuss each of the matches in more detail. And, you know, if we happen to be in Paris, then we'll also bring you guys some high quality content from, I think Paris is the city of love, Abi.
Yeah.
So we'll bring you some high quality content. By God's grace, we're able to make it to Paris.
Yeah.
But any final thoughts on this one before we run off this episode?
I just want to say that those that did not support Randy, South Africa opened their camp so early for this qualifier. They wanted to win this qualifier. They were even more prepared than us. So if we could beat them, don't forget that they were the African champions. They also qualified for the round of 16 and the last World Cup. So if we could beat them, please give Randy Wardrop his flowers and support the team. I'm hearing some people calling him again, Nuga coach. I don't think we should go that route anymore. Support him. It's making the country proud. Let him actually do his job. And, you know, the girls too, they actually they like him. I also believe that they are also doing well under him. So, that's my opinion. I just think that they are more prepared, but we got better. And I remember that Jordan, he came to the dressing room when we lost, when they lost to us in semifinal of the AFCON. He told them something that they were still meeting us, that they will revenge. You know? But this is one of the revenge that's planned now. We beat them. So, please, let's give this man his flowers. I think he's doing well for the Falcons. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And if you don't want to give Randy Wardrop his flowers, the least you can do is make sure you give us our own flowers by engaging with us, by commenting on the video, by sharing it with your family, your friends, in your group chats, in your different football forums, wherever you talk about football. And of course, make sure you subscribe to the channel so that you keep on enjoying our Niger football content and you never ever miss an episode, because you don't want to miss out on this quality conversation. As always, my name is Ayo T and I have with me my co-host
Lai. Thanks for joining.
This is the Niger FC podcast. Thank you guys. Bye bye.